Welcome to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
And welcome, everyone, to the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be with you tonight. I can't believe I'm about to say this. Saturday, October the first. Can anyone believe that it's October? When I woke up this morning and I looked at my cell phone, which of course displays the time and date, I was like, wow, are you really? I can remember every Saturday night for as long as I can recall now, complaining as we come into the studio each evening about how hot it is outside, but I just can't say that anymore. The merciless summer is concluding. And not a moment too soon for your humble correspondent. Welcome to the Political Cesspool this Saturday evening, October 1st. A beautiful, beautiful day here in Memphis, Tennessee. I'm coming to you, regrettably, from inside the building here at AM 1380 WLRM Radio, rather than outside on the lawn somewhere. Too nice to be inside, but I'm doing it for you folks. I'm sacrificing to be inside so I can bring you the show. And one person that isn't making that sacrifice tonight is Keith Alexander, who, in all fairness, would be here if it were not for the fact that family comes first with Keith, as it should with all of us. Family before work, before obligations. One of Keith's sons. Now, Keith is a hero for so many reasons, not only because of his contributions to this show, but because he has fathered four boys. Keith is replenishing the Alexander seed. And anyway, one of his sons is returning from a trip this evening. He's flying into the airport, and wouldn't you know it, his flight landed right in the middle of Keith's customary hour here with us. And so with his son being, I think he's arriving at 6:15 tonight. I guess he should be landing right now, actually. So Keith isn't going to be here tonight. I know that's a big blow to all of the Keith Alexander fans out there, and I'm one of them, and I'm sitting here lamenting the fact that Keith isn't here by my side. It's unusual during the first hour not to be able to look to my right and see him. But I'm just going to have to ask you to pick up the slack, ladies and gentlemen. We've got a lot to talk about, and since I don't have a co-host this first hour, maybe I'm going to have to rely on the audience itself to serve as my wingman, and why don't you give me a call? If you've seen something you like on our website, and we have been putting up some pretty interesting stories, for lack of a better word, very diverse range of topics there at thepoliticalcesspool.org, and we'll be sorting through them as the program continues. But why don't you give me a call here sometime this first hour, 1-866-986-NEWS, as everyone gets settled in to their chairs for another live broadcast for award-winning show. As I mentioned, we're coming to you from AM 1380, our flagship station, but by no means our only affiliate, and going out to the affiliate stations that carry us across the country, and we're very glad to have you tuned in wherever you may be. And if you're tuned in on the internet at thepoliticalcesspool.org, we're happy to have you as well. It's the gang's all here. And we will be talking about quite a bit this evening, as you may have noticed there at if you're on our email list. If you're not on our email list, you should be. But we send an email out every Friday or Saturday if we get a little late, and we let people know the topics that will be up for discussion this evening, in addition to our guest. By the way, Richard Spencer will be back with me. Richard himself has almost earned the title of co-host with his many appearances this year and the last. It's been about a month now, not quite. 3 weeks. Has it been 3 weeks since we were in Washington at the National Press Club? Richard's going to be here to talk about the postmortems of what was an excellent event for the National Policy Institute. We're going to be talking to Richard all about it now that he's had time to reflect and ponder on what was won, what was gained. We're going to be hearing from him. We're also going to be talking about this hour Ron Paul, absolutely outstanding appearance with Sean Hannity. And it wasn't because of Hannity, of course. I'm no fan of him. I think he is the embodiment of the establishment propagandist on network television. Never have had anything to do. You know, a little known story. Sometimes people say I'm too humble. and I am very humble, and I'm very grateful for the people who support me, the people who help this show continue, and the people who have given this program a name, and in turn, given myself somewhat of a name. But sometimes I let my foolishness, maybe it's foolish pride, get the best of me. Maybe I'm burdened by principles. This will probably go down as a horrible decision in the history of the Political Cesspool radio program. But I have such disdain for Sean Hannity that back, and I can't remember if I've told y'all this story before, 2007, 2006, maybe it was a long time ago now, a producer for the Sean Hannity show asked me, and this was before my subsequent appearances on CNN, where I had that string on CNN for quite some time on the Palazan show. This was before that, a producer for the Sean Hannity show asked me if I would come on to talk with, this is when he was with, you know, Combs, the Hannity and Combs, instead of, it's just now the Hannity show, but they asked me if I would come on to talk about an issue that actually originated in Memphis, and they had known that I was a well-known show in the area, and they wanted me to weigh in on this local topic that was making national news, and, you know, what can I say? Instead of being the wise old 31-year-old that I was now, I guess that was the ignorant 28-year-old, and I turned them down just because I didn't want to be on with Hannity, and oops, you know, probably missed out on, you know, 5 million viewers getting to know about the Political Cesspool. My mistake. I still don't care for you too much, Sean, but would be happy to take you up on an appearance if you want to talk about something. Anyway, Ron Paul really handed Sean Hannity his hat to cut to the chase. We're going to be talking about it. I really wish I could play the audio of the video on here. I don't know if that's possible. We'll see about that. A new series out on ABC, Pan Am, starring Christina Ricci. We'll talk about it. Keith Alexander contributed to a great story that has been featured on our website this week about Ole Miss football. We're going to be talking about that. Is toilet paper a hate symbol? Well, don't laugh. Diversity experts in the United Kingdom say Yes, toilet paper is white, so it is therefore a hate symbol. We need to have various colored toilet paper so we won't offend minorities. They are teaching this now to kids 3 years old. I'm not making it up. I think we got that out of the London Telegraph, if I'm not mistaken. It's on our website. Everything we say on this show is backed up on the website with verifiable links to other mainstream news sources. Toilet paper, a hate symbol. We'll talk about it tonight during the show. Just setting the table for you this first segment, ladies and gentlemen. Bass Pro Shop has been sued for racial discrimination. Let's talk about that. Bass Pro Shop sued for racial discrimination. A Black Panther at a school up north has threatened a white student, threatened him with death, apparently. He said he was going to exercise the Second Amendment rights on this white student for passing out copies of the Constitution on Constitution Day, no less. So did you know that the Constitution was now being declared as a white supremacist tool? Don't go away. Morgan Freeman says the Tea Party is racist. We'll be back right. We're going to talk about it all. Stay tuned, everybody. We're just getting started.
Jump in the Political Cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Time slipped away from me yet again during that first segment. That's a little long-winded there, setting the table. But as you can tell, we have a very busy night, and I didn't even cover it all. I didn't even cover everything that we'll be talking about, just a little bit of it over the course of the next 3 hours. So stay tuned, buckle up, and get ready for another ride through the political cesspool. And before we get down to our first topic of discussion tonight, I want to take a quick call from Dan up in Chicago. How do you think? What do you think about that, folks? A political cesspool listener in the Windy City. Dan, you're on the line.
Oops. Hello?
Yes, you're on the line.
Hello, yes. I'm hoping that I'm on topic enough. There's been a question I've been waiting to ask you for a while now, and it has to do, on the one hand, with race mixing, and on the other hand, with abortion. Because I know that you don't believe in race mixing. I don't really either. But my question would be, let us say your wife, or if you had a daughter someday, if they were to be raped by a black man and become impregnated, well, how would you feel about abortion in that particular case?
Dan, I got to tell you, you got me on that. That's not, you know, that's a hypothetical question that I really haven't foreseen. I can't justify abortion in any way, shape, or form, to be honest with you. It's not something that I believe should be practiced. And my God, I mean, if that horrible situation, you know, her being raped by anyone, you know, would come about, I don't know. I'd like to say that I would stick to my principles and, you know, not, it certainly wouldn't be the kid's fault. I guess that'd be something I'd have to deal with if God put me in that situation, but I'm praying that he doesn't.
Yeah, well, I mean, what I'm thinking is there may be some of your listeners put in that position someday, if not you. You know, I hope you don't, or any of your listeners either, but there is something that could happen sometime.
Right.
I've listened to Ron Paul, and I've noticed that, generally speaking, he does seem to be against abortion. I thought he was in all cases, even though he believed that states had the right to you know, make their own rules on it. But actually, I believe I just listened to a YouTube on him, and he did seem to make the exception for the abortion, especially if they took that one pill, you know, that you can take within 48 or 72 hours being raped.
Yeah, I, you know, I don't know. I haven't looked into his position on abortion. I would imagine, being a libertarian, he might be actually a little bit more pro-choice than some of us, but...
Now, I'm sort of, you know, I'm basically overall not favorable towards abortion. I'm a Christian, too.
I know historically, you know, I was just reminded of, you know, he is a pro-life doctor, you know, and in fact, that was his field before he got into politics.
And he did talk about that case, especially like a late-term abortion, where he actually viewed one where they let the baby die and everything.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, I know in the Bible, you know, it even talks about people knowing people in the womb. At some point, I knew him in the womb or whatever.
Right.
But I'm just wondering if maybe early enough, you know, like, I can't believe, like, if a cell divides two times and then it dies, that a soul and a spirit has been putting into it and will go to heaven. You know what I'm saying? Like a baby maybe 5 months old, I can believe they'll go to heaven. Okay. But if it was just like, so I'm kind of wondering when the spirit and the soul really goes into the kid, and if you do it early enough, is it really a sin?
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We will, of course, I can't answer that, but we will, you know, this is a topic that we really haven't covered on the show in quite a while. I can remember back before we got picked up by the network having a series of experts on the right to life and the abortion issue on the show, but it's something that... you know, we just haven't done in a while. It would be an interesting topic to pick up, because you kind of caught me off guard with that question. And they're very good questions. They're very deep questions. And we'll explore that more with guests, perhaps on a later episode. And in the meantime, thank you so much for calling in.
And thank you very much, too.
My pleasure, as always. Speaking of Ron Paul, I don't know how much time we have left in this segment. Maybe enough time to get this clip in. But as I said, I was talking about Ron Paul in the last segment. The caller just mentioned him. We don't have time to do the clip this segment, so we'll carry it over and do it in the next one. But Hannity, you know, shows his true colors when it comes to foreign policy. You know, all of these neocons are so hawkish when it comes to war. I certainly haven't seen Sean Hannity volunteering to serve in any of these wars that he cheerleads for. But I think Ron Paul, once again, just really put these neocon GOP hacks in this place. I was so impressed by it that we put it up as its own blog entry. And a lot of times I will, you know, do an article or a few paragraphs or maybe even a featured piece on the show just to prompt the discussion that always ensues in the comments section at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And a very robust conversation was spawned as a result of this video. Some great responses. And listen, you know, Ron Paul isn't Pat Buchanan. And maybe I'm too sympathetic towards old Pat because it was he that kind of gave me my start in this whole thing. And if it wasn't for Pat Buchanan, there wouldn't have been a radio show and all that. But as this video shows, Ron Paul is truly our only choice in the GOP primaries. I proudly voted for Ron Paul in 2008. I certainly plan to do it again in 2012. I was talking with my pastor about this a few days ago. The only thing that's bad about being in Tennessee is that by the time the primaries get here, it's normally already determined. And that's something that Keith Alexander would like to harp about. And I say harp not as a disparaging term. I mean, he's quite right about this. And he brings this up fairly often, is that the establishment, the Republican establishment, has it stacked. They have the primary situated to where blue state Republicans and Northerners, who are typically more liberal than people in the Midwest and, you know, some of the Western states and certainly the South. You know, you've got Iowa and New Hampshire, and because human nature dictates that everybody wants to back a winner, you go in Iowa, and the guy that would win in Iowa isn't necessarily the guy that would win in South Carolina or Georgia. But because somebody like John McCain, for instance, you know, wins the New Hampshire primary, then, you know, this isn't an excuse. People should be stronger than this. They should be more principled than this. But they start, you know, oh, well, it doesn't look like Ron Paul's going to get it. It doesn't look like Buchanan has a chance. You know, we got to vote for the guy that can win. And, you know, in the primaries, why? Well, they don't want to have a fractured party. You know, we got to have unity as we go up against a Democratic candidate, particularly an incumbent. And this is what happens. You've got these blue state, you know, these Republican parties in blue states. And even though they're Republican, well, that's certainly in this day and age, it doesn't mean they're going to be more conservative now more than ever. And they're selecting these candidates, and everybody else just falls in line. And again, on one hand, people should be stronger than that. But on the other hand, that's just not the way it is. So anyway, I was talking with my pastor about that, and he likes Paul. I like Paul. Where Ron Paul will be standing in the primary apparatus by the time Tennessee gets to vote on one of those Super Tuesdays remains to be seen. But in the meantime, we'll continue to use our little bully pulpit here to raise awareness for Ron Paul. I mean, my goodness, the guy can raise $1 million any day he wants. You know, it would seem, I just have a hard time believing it. I know a lot of people here. There's a couple of things about the, you know, the right that we could, you know, if we really did a little self-introspection, we could do a little bit better on. One is the fact that, again, with Ron Paul, well, I agree with him on 95% of it, but man, it's that 5% that shuts him out. It's the 5%. I agree. You know, he doesn't say everything that I would say, but who does? He doesn't, but who does? This is what we do, you know. I agree with him on 99 things, but man, that one is just the one that breaks the camel's back. We got to be better than that. You're not going to get to create your own candidate in some sort of a factory. You just got to go with the best. And Ron Paul isn't that much of a compromise, ladies and gentlemen. I guarantee you, we would be a lot better off with Ron Paul than we would anybody that the establishment puts up, certainly anybody that the Democrats put up. So that's one thing. I don't really get into conspiracy theories as much as some of our friends do, but I have a hard time believing, as much support as Ron Paul has in the grassroots, that he didn't get more votes than they counted for him in 2008. We got to take a break. We're going to talk Ron Paul, more Ron Paul in the next segment. Stay tuned, everybody.
We've been working hard, babe. To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, James Edwards back with you. I know it's kind of been slow to start. Jump started during the first hour. I gotta use the spurs and you know, kick this horse into gear. But before we get into this Ron Paul clip and then take another call, we got such a busy show tonight. I gotta turn up the speed here. But my wife just walked into the studio. I believe you can hear that. That's not her talking. That's our daughter. She came by to bring me a little. You know, every now and then they'll drive down here when they're out and about and say hello when I'm working and say hello to everybody here at the studio. But let's just see if we can get a quick comment from Well, I don't want to ask my wife to. You know, she sacrificed so much for me to do this show for the last 7 years. I'm not going to ask her to say anything. But let's just see if we can get my daughter tonight to say a few words for the crowd. Isabel? Yeah, she wouldn't stop talking, but when the microphone got near, she just knew how to do it. All right, I love y'all. Anyway, we got a caller on the line in Colorado. We're going to get to him in just a second. But first, I want to play that Ron Paul clip. But we're going to play the whole thing in its entirety. It's only 6 minutes long. Ron Paul on the Sean Hannity Show after the Florida straw poll last week. Let's fire that up.
We have no controls of spending, taxes, regulations, no control on the Federal Reserve printing money. So if we want government, whether it's medical care or whatever, it's proper to do it at the local level as well as our schools. But there is no authority in the Constitution to do so much of what we're doing. There's no authority for them to run our schools, no authority to control our economy, and no authority to control us as individuals on what we do with our personal lives.
And welcome back to Orlando, Florida, where tonight nine presidential hopefuls took the stage to outline their vision for America. And among those contenders, Texas Congressman Ron Paul. He joins me now. How are you, Congressman?
Thank you. Doing well.
The last time you ducked me, we asked you to be on the program, and I saw you doing an interview right next to me. I'm glad you came on this time.
Well, I did have another appointment that night, you know, with my supporters. You know, I have enthusiastic supporters.
You have the most enthusiastic supporters.
So I couldn't let them down. I feel very obligated.
But you were sitting right next to me doing an interview when you were supposed to be here.
You know, you have a better memory than I do, so I don't recall exactly.
By the way, you know where your son Rand was today? He was on Air Force One with President Obama.
The only time I went on Air Force One, it was with Ronald Reagan.
Is that right?
I got to talk to him about the gold standard.
Well, listen, you see the price of gold? You know, I was thinking about you. You know, a lot of what you say, the role of government has gotten way out of control. They want to control every aspect of our lives. When you get into those libertarian principles, I agree with 95% of what you say.
That's pretty good.
All right, pretty good. For example, look at Bernanke and what, you know, QE 5000. And, you know, I don't think it's going to work.
Right.
I think it's government involvement. Your thoughts on what he was proposing earlier this week?
Well, it's just more of the same. And that's all they know. And that's all Bernanke knows. If you study his history, all he said, he did all his research on the Depression. And he said the Depression wouldn't have lasted if they'd have printed more money much, much faster. But he didn't realize that they printed too much money in the 20s, caused the bubble, and that's how we got the Depression. So Greenspan started it by keeping interest rates too low. That was first QE. Then they had the emergency. Then they had the QE2. And then he said, we're going to keep interest rates very low until 2013. Now he's come up with another one. And the only thing he's ever offered is printing more money. And when you do that, you distort the market. The most important thing in a market is to have prices. Everybody knows wage and price controls are very, very bad. But we constantly accept the notion that the Federal Reserve can fix the price of money, and that's its interest rate. And it is key to the problem. Unless we deal with that, you can't deal with the problem of unemployment and savings and capital and all these things. That's why the monetary issue is so important.
You know, if you look at what Obama's doing, massive government stimulus, that fails. Massive government debt and deficits, that's hurting the country. Massive regulation, all these things you would fix. And you know, I think you and a lot of the people up on that stage tonight were right. The only thing I always find myself in disagreement with you, and I don't understand. I want to really give you a chance to explain this. Why do you think we have no business or role in preventing a madman, Holocaust-denying guy like Ahmadinejad that wants to wipe Israel off the map, repeatedly states it, an enemy of the United States? Why do you think we shouldn't involve ourselves early before he gets a nuclear weapon?
Well, first, we don't have the authority. Second, we don't have the money. Third, it hurts our national security. And fourth, I think it hurts Israel for us to be doing all these things.
What do you mean we don't have the authority? Whose authority?
I mean, where is it written in the Constitution that we should be the policeman of the world?
It doesn't say that.
You can't do it.
Yeah.
So,
but we have the right to defend
ourselves. What about George Bush? George Bush had it right in the year 2000. Remember, he said, I don't want to be a nation builder. I don't want to be involved in policemen of the world, because he didn't like what Clinton was doing
in Kosovo.
So I just stick that the founders preached that message. Don't go about the world looking for monsters to destroy. Besides, we don't have the money is the most important.
I think that's really important. But is it a case that if we don't deal with certain certain threats now, we'll deal with them later. For example, as we watch the expansion of Nazism, you know, eventually, obviously Pearl Harbor played a big part, but we were a part of beating back the forces of fascism and Nazism. Maybe had we gotten in early.
Yeah.
I mean, do you have to look at potential threats down the road and realize that if somebody says they want to destroy you, you got to believe them?
Yeah, but that's all war propaganda. We did that to
Ahmadinejad says it. He wants to destroy Israel and the U.S.
Yeah, but so did Khrushchev say that he wanted to bury us, and he had a capability of doing that.
Yeah.
Iran is not a threat in a true sense of the word.
They have really a lot believe that?
Let me finish the sentence. Yeah. They have a lot of oil, but they have to import gasoline. They don't have intercontinental ballistic missiles, and people like others, and maybe you're willing to go in there and aggressively attack a country, and they don't even have a weapon.
You know why I am, and this is just a disagreement we have, because when he says he wants to annihilate Israel, his ties, he's fighting proxy wars against Israel right now by funding Hezbollah, Al-Qaeda, Islamic Jihad, the Muslim Brotherhood. They are already fighting a war against us in many ways and Western values, and it's just a matter of us recognizing it.
But if we had followed George Bush's foreign policy and Ronald Reagan, he said that he left after Lebanon and the chaos. He says, those politics up there are so irrational.
Yeah.
He said that I made a mistake. He brought the troops home, and he said that if he had been more neutral in that area, those 241 Marines would have been still alive. Right. So Reagan had second thoughts about it, and the founders preached it. And I think it's going to undermine our defense. I think what we're doing here
may not come to that.
What we're doing is very dangerous to Israel. You know, this big fight in the United Nations. What are we doing with the United Nations? Why are they helping us make these decisions?
Why are we even in there? Why are we funding it?
I'm for getting out of it. The United Nations started that mess in 1947, and they've compounded it ever since, and they're still
arguing. See, we agree again.
There we go.
Hey, come back, spend more time with us. Always good to see you. Appreciate it.
All right.
Your brother, your son Rand is on my radio show tomorrow, so we'll see him then.
Oh, okay.
I want to hear about this trip with Obama.
Oh, okay.
But that was interesting. All right, and coming up, former CEO of Godfather's Pizza.
All right, that was...
is coming up next as we continue from Orlando, Florida.
That was Ron Paul on Sean Hannity's show. You heard a lot of static in the background. That wasn't a poor connection on our end with the radio. They were actually live at the Florida Straw Poll. I played that clip in its entirety because I really think that Ron Paul's brilliant. First of all, did you hear Sean Hannity? I mean, is he an Israeli citizen or is he an American? I don't believe that... you know, America's vital interests are the same as Israel's, to say the least. But did you see how Ron Paul handled it when the subject shifted to foreign policy? Ron Paul has a little more tact than I do, and he was able to certainly fall right down the line with the way I view what America's foreign policy should be, the way you probably view it to be, an America First foreign policy. But he was able to answer the question in such a way that he falls in line with us, but he can't, because of the way he answered it, be dismissed with the, you know, anti-Semitic slander. The way he answered his question was brilliant because, again, it shows whose side he's on. He's on America's side first, second, and third, but he can't be dismissed as an anti-Semite, and that's a brilliant way to do it. We're going to take a quick call from Colorado because we have so much ground to cover tonight, but I hope you enjoyed that. Again, that should reinforce folks in their support of Ron Paul. And I can't believe when that caller called in before that I had forgotten that. Yes, obviously, you know, that was one of the things in the beginning Ron Paul was most well known for, was his pro-life stance. But anyway, caller in Colorado, are you still with us? And thank you for waiting patiently.
Yes, sir. James, this is Dave. How you doing?
Doing well.
Hey, I know you got a lot to get to, so I'll be quick. But I tell you, you're breaking my heart, James. I called in because I'm a little disappointed in Dr. Paul's engagement with Sean, and I was hoping he'd calm a little bit more on the carpet. These lies, I mean, this illogical and pathetic strain of arguments that Sean Hannity does and all these neocon Israeli firster talk radio guys do with Mahmoud Ahmadinejad.
Well, Dave, I'm not trying to cut you off. We really are coming to a break, but I'm going to let you make your point in its entirety if you can just hang on through the break. I didn't know we were coming up that close to the wall, so just stay tuned, my friend.
We got to get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life for me.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, folks. Like we're going to be talking about Ron Paul for the bulk of this hour, and that's okay. And I'll tell you, it's a nice day in Memphis. I was out, there was a community festival here in my town, the little suburb near Memphis, and I went to it today with my family. Of course, being in public, I had to wear a pair of sunshades and a baseball hat as to not to get recognized. But I was walking through the park, and here at this little festival, they had many vendor booths. And Ron Paul had a booth there. I don't know who put it on, but I made the time to go over and shake their hand and tell them that, you know, I was planning on voting for the guy. And in fact, you know, the clip that I just shared for you in its entirety, we also posted to the website this week, had about 30 responses from you, the members of our audience. And I would say, I don't know, the people found his remarks to be favorable at maybe a 3-to-1 clip. But our friend Dave from Colorado seems to be in the dissent. Dave, by all means, continue to make your point.
Say, real quick, Ron Paul is the man, absolutely 100%. However, I'm saying I was disappointed with his, as I said, with his engagement with Sean Hannity. I don't understand how they can continue to get away, they being this, neocon machine, these talk radio guys, they spew all these lies. And first and foremost, the leadership of Iran never said that they wanted to annihilate Israel. They never said they wanted to annihilate the United States. And Paul Gottfried, I'm sure you know who that is.
Yeah, of course, he's been on this show.
Yeah, he did a fantastic job of just absolutely annihilating this ridiculous historical precedent that Hannity and these guys bring up about the Nazis and letting the peace in our times, Munich Agreement, and if we had just listened then, Nazism wouldn't have spread, and that's what we have to learn from and things. And that's just, none of that is true. And I was really waiting for Ron Paul and his good diplomatic way to come in and really just tear Hannity to pieces as he has in the past. So that's what I just wanted to say. I think Dr. Paul is starting to get tired. I think this is really, really starting to hurt him. This has got to be just a grueling, grueling endurance fest.
Let me tell you something. You make a good point that a lot of people wouldn't take into consideration. Now, I'm not a business traveler, as I know many people are or have been. I'm 31 years old, okay, and I was on the road for about 17 days for a speaking tour last month, earlier in the month, and man, I couldn't get home fast enough. And I'm, as I said, I'm 31 years old. So Ron Paul, being in his late 70s, I mean, can you imagine the rigors of campaigning across the nation day in and day out? It's certainly got to wear on you, not just physically, but certainly mentally as well. But at the same time, I mean, again, if he had really treated Hannity the way I've seen Pat Buchanan treat Hannity, then he's going to have to endure the name calling that we know is going to come with that. I thought he took it about as far as he could get it without having to be subjected to anti-Semite, Nazi, and all that stuff. And yeah, of course, Hannity.
He's in the thick of it, James. We're not, And so I'm not an expert on any of this. I've never campaigned. I've never worked on it as you have. So I don't know, but it just, I'm just getting sick and tired of these guys, Hannity especially. Every time I see him, it's the same platitudes, it's the same cookie cutter responses to make excuses for foreign policy. And one other thing, the material aspect of our foreign policy, the money, yes, we can't afford it. However, we have to look at the human cost. Okay, yes, we are who we are here listening to this show. However, in our hearts of hearts, as Christians, we have to know that the suffering that is being endured by these people who we bomb for our freedom is, we have to understand that, it is a human element there too. Not just a material one, but definitely a human one as well. And with that, I know you're busy. I know your stock's full. I'm going to get to Memphis. You're going to show me around, and I'm going to buy, James. I'll talk to you later.
I'm looking forward to it, my friend. We'll eat barbecue.
Yes, sir.
Thanks so much, listener out there in Colorado, political cesspool fans everywhere. And as I said, you know, we're getting late in the hour now. We are really, really going to kick it into higher gear in the second and third hour, folks. I promise you that. We've got so much to get to. It's going to be rapid fire like you've never seen on this show, because I'm hell-bent on getting it all in tonight. I'm not going to leave anything on the plate. It's all going to be gone. We're going to digest it all one way or another. We're going to be scarfing down that food over the course of the final 2 hours tonight. But this is an important discussion. You know, you can't spend too much time on the Ron Paul topic, and quite frankly, we haven't spent enough of it on the Ron Paul topic over the course of the last few months. Primary season's coming up. I don't have illusions of grandeur that electing a president, even if we could, is going to save this country from itself. It's the one quick fix to reclaim America's destiny. I mean, of course, that's folly to believe like that. But at the same time, if we can be a part of a solution, why not give it a shot? I know it would be much more practical to take back America precinct by precinct, but really, you know, where are all the pockets of resistance to this neocon and liberal orthodoxy? You know, Ron Paul's out there. He's getting the media attention. Let's do what we can to rally behind him. Primary season's coming up. This year is almost over. Primary start at the very beginning of 2012, which, look at your calendars, folks, ain't that far away. And as, again, Dave brought up some good points, and these are points that were echoed in the comments, the discussion that took place underneath this video clip that we shared with you, both on this program tonight and on our website. One of our regular commenters said that it's weird seeing a candidate like Ron Paul that does not seem to be a mindless slave of the corporations and the elites. And that's, of course, you know, what Sean Hannity is, a mindless slave of the Israeli lobby, the Zionist lobby, and then the corporations and elites who are also beholden to those interests. And, you know, he gets his press releases and he's told to parrot the line, and that's what he does. I don't think he's overly intelligent. I think he's a great propagandist, and I think he says what he's paid to say. I don't know if he's a true believer in that. If he is, then that's the reason he got selected. But maybe he's just doing his job. But as another commenter from Texas writes, it was a solid performance by Ron Paul. He handed the loudmouth Hannity his hat, though in a sober, matter-of-fact way, many viewers are too obtuse to get. Example, after Hannity complained about Ahmadinejad being a madman who threatened Israel and America, and how that justified a U.S. attack, Paul pointed out that Khrushchev wanted to bury us, and unlike Iran, he had the means to do it, and yet we didn't attack Russia. I only wish that Paul had told the audience that Hannity calls any foreign leader we don't like a madman and compares him to Hitler, which, of course, he does. And as I said so many times before, the true attraction at my website is not the articles or the short videos or the couple of paragraphs of commentary that we feature there. It is the comments left by you, the members of our listening audience. People all too often discount how intelligent the audience of the political cesspool is. But I don't. I am all too honored to have the benefit of receiving your correspondence and feedback and checking those comments that our moderator approves to that our webmaster approves to the blog. And I'm very blessed, folks. And I don't say that disingenuously. I guess you're used to people saying, oh, you know, we love you. We love you. You know, rock stars. Oh, I love the fans. I don't know how many of them truly do, how many of them are just saying that, but we truly love you here. Yeah, myself, Keith, Bill, Winston, Eddie, the whole staff and crew here in Memphis and out in Utah with the network, we're so grateful to have you. You know, we just wrapped up a quarterly fundraising drive four times a year. I'll send out a letter with hat in hand, asking for contributions to help keep this show on the air. There is some cost associated with the production of the show, as you well know. And four times a year, you answer the call, and you've done it for 7 years now. And we had a very good response, very strong response over the course of the last couple of weeks. And, you know, we'll be paying the bills. Looks like we're not going anywhere anytime soon. And that's, of course, all a direct result of your loyalty and your friendship, ladies and gentlemen. And I know this has kind of been an unorthodox first hour, first of all, without having Keith here, but secondly, because I'm doing so much extemporaneous banter. But I really like to take the opportunity from time to time. And of course, that quarterly fundraising drive kicked off September 1st, just ended yesterday. And for all of you who had the means to answer the call, from my heart to yours, you know, thank you. We don't take it for granted. It's always appreciated. Never expected. Well, anyway, folks, we're coming up to the end of this hour. My God, it went by fast. Got a lot more coming up. Eddie the Bombardier Miller is going to be in with me at the for the third hour, a little bit later on tonight. We're going to talk to Richard Spencer about that great conference in Washington. What's his reflections now that we're 3 weeks removed from the big event at the National Press Club in the Ronald Reagan Building right there in the heart of D.C.? Wow. And all those stories that I told you about an hour ago that I said we were going to talk about, hey, I ain't lying. We're going to cover them all. Stay tuned.
Comes your way right after these messages.
Leap to his feet and says, something's got a hold on me. Yow! The day the squirrel went berserk in the First Self-Righteous Church in that sleepy little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting, hallelujah. Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his fruit of the looms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the amen.